For WAMC News, I'm Jim Lavoulis. On this Earth Day, Colgate University says it is now the first university in New York to reach carbon neutrality, completing a 10-year plan. The efforts, which resulted in a 46% reduction in emissions, included a $1.25 million self-sustaining fund for energy and carbon reduction projects, as well as solar arrays and geothermal heating and cooling systems. The 200-year-old private university in Hamilton, New York, is home to about 3,000 students. I spoke with college president Brian Casey and director of sustainability John Pamilio, who began by describing what carbon neutrality means.
Carbon neutrality is basically what we do is we look at a certain segment of our operations, and we measure the carbon emissions associated with that. So that forms our baseline. Then what we do is we try to mitigate those emissions, do things on campus to reduce those emissions as far down as we can, and then we balance the rest with investments and projects off campus. So basically, what carbon neutrality is balancing your carbon budget.
And John, you started as Colgate's first sustainability director in 2009. Now, being the first person to hold this position, did you have to start from scratch when it came to pursuing this goal?
No, there were already a group of passionate students and faculty who had been thinking about these things. And actually, when I came on board on campus, the university had already committed to carbon neutrality. So the reason why the position was created and I came to campus was because I had the technical skills to actually do organizational greenhouse gas inventories. I had been doing this for another university and another organization but before I came here. So really, it was just a matter of rolling up our sleeves, collecting the data that we needed to collect, and begin the process of identifying our sources of carbon emissions and working through a process to develop strategies to reduce those emissions.
President Brian Casey, you were inaugurated as Colgate's president in 2016, so you've overseen the final few years of this 10-year effort. What has it taken to get here?
You know, it's taken a lot of people committing to this goal, and it's also taken lots of different efforts. Like John, I inherited a goal, an ambitious goal the institution set for itself to coincide with this year's bicentennial, but what I think we've all learned is that there's not a single straight line toward achieving some limited or singular goal. Instead, it's lots of different efforts, lots of adjustments, endlessly modifying, endlessly learning, endlessly changing. It's incredibly iterative, and you have to be responsive and remain committed. And also, and John touched upon this, you have to remain joyful about it. It's really easy to get down on yourself, or get frustrated, or use a negative frame. You have to say to yourself, "This is a joyful thing for the goal for the university to try to get to, and we're just going to get there in the best ways we can."
And throughout this 10-year process, there is a long list of accomplishments that Colgate obtained, whether it be the installation of the first geothermal heating and cooling system on campus, just to name one. Was there any sort of turning point or critical piece for the college in attaining its carbon neutrality goal?
I don't know if there's one specific thing to point at. I think the vision that we had from the beginning was, let's come on board and let's do some projects, specific things that will demonstrate or illustrate that we could do this. So whether it's buildings or our purchasing decisions or our food and dining operations, let's pick a project that we can implement that we will have success in. That's the emergence side of things. Then what we did is we're now phasing into what we call integration, where it's not just a one-off project or this one thing that we did, but it actually becomes part of the way that we make decisions on campus across the board. So I think, you know, I always get a little hesitant when I start to think of, oh, it was this moment or it was this thing, because really what it is, it's, as President Casey kind of highlighted, we look at this like a journey. We're going to have false starts and we're going to go off course from time to time and we're going to have setbacks. But this is, you know, it's a journey with fortitude. And I think we just keep going ahead. And we are now seeing, I think we're in a place now where we can say our sustainability program is a lot more integrated today than it was a few years ago.
And my understanding is the university says it is not done when it comes to reducing its carbon footprint. So what is in the works?
I think we can't quite predict the journey. I'll ask John to speak more directly about things, but I just think it's an endless commitment. But two things I want to point out is we've now built this into the university's third century plan. We're moving into our third century this year, and we're setting up plans for our academic life and residential life. Now this is part of our planning process. But the other thing that we did, which I think is interesting, is we created a green revolving fund. I worked with the Board of Trustees to set up a $1.25 million fund that can just endlessly seed projects as we learn things, as an opportunity presents itself, some idea, large or small. You can start something. You can see the benefits of it. You can get returns from it. One thing I want to point out, this is not all just feeling bad about yourself. A lot of times you gain from all of this and you get returns on your investments. So in a lot of ways, this is just good operational practices. But I'll ask John to speak about more specifics coming up.
Yeah, well, I love the question, Jim, because I think this has been something that, you know, for the past 10 years, we've been working towards this goal of carbon neutrality. And I think carbon neutrality presents us with an opportunity to take a deep breath and exhale and reflect back on the accomplishments that we've made. But really, the way that I view it is it's the beginning. It's the beginning of our formal responsibility to our campus carbon emissions. And the things that we're focusing on next are really becoming a lot more strategic about our on-campus energy use and emissions associated with that energy use. So we've got good benchmarking data. We've got meters in all of our buildings. We've identified our energy use index for all of our buildings, our EUI, and we're systemically prioritizing our buildings with the highest levels of energy use and emissions, and we're going to target those first. And I think that's our short-term goal. Our long-term goal is really trying to think about ways that we can electrify campus. So supply green, renewable energy to campus, something we're already doing, and then use that energy to heat and cool our buildings and even our transportation sector in time. But, you know, that's I think, a portion of our vision going forward. There's a lot more to the story than that, and it will continue to unfold in the years ahead.
President Casey, you mentioned some financial figures. How much did this overall 10-year effort cost? And in that same vein, is it projected to save Colgate University money?
You know, I would have to do a lot of work to find all the small investments. For example, we just completed a new building on campus that opened a few months ago. We're constructing two new buildings. The building we just opened just was certified platinum, LEED platinum. So we expect the investments we had to put in that building to obtain that level surely will pay for itself. You know, I think if we had to measure it, I would echo something John said. These decisions have to imbue everything you're doing. Instead of saying, oh, here's a sustainability add-on, it becomes a practice across everything you do from purchasing. So it'd almost be hard to track it down. But your question is, will it ultimately pay off? Absolutely. It'll pay off. I know it'll pay off in our energy costs. I know it'll pay off in this will sound like a funny way to pay off. The way the campus looks and operates and how people move through the space. The place is different because of this endeavor. And I think some of those ways are probably hard to measure, but they all seem positive. For those who are contemplating this, I would say embrace it because although it's hard, a lot of good comes out of it.
And what would be your advice for other institutions looking to become carbon neutral, maybe even specifically ones that are celebrating a bicentennial? I'm sure there were buildings that were not too efficient on campus there.
My advice would be start. Just start. Set a goal and just start. We had lots of fits and starts. We had things that didn't go our way. We planted a willow grove to feed our wood chipper that is a source of energy, and the deer got to it first. So we learned that planting willow groves in central New York might not be the first step to do. But I think my advice is start and learn. And I think that's really salient advice for a college or university. This effort has been educational for everybody. I mean, watch an institution think its way through a very complex, challenging set of issues is what we do at a university. So it's had an enormous effect on how we think here. So again, my advice is just go, start. You're going to have good days. You're going to have bad days. You're going to have great things and challenging things, and just keep moving.
Yeah, and I would definitely agree with that. I mean, I think, you know, once we recognize, I think you know, we are aware as a civil society that we have a major issue with climate change. We know what's causing it, and we know the solutions. So with that awareness comes responsibility. And once you take responsibility for that, then you only have one option, and that's to do what President Casey is talking about. You have to address it. You have to take chances. You have to be smart about it, and you have to move forward. Learn from your mistakes, celebrate the successes, and just keep moving forward. And that's how leaders, I think, are born.
And now it's noted that Colgate will be the first university in New York State to reach carbon neutrality. John, you mentioned your experience before you joined Colgate. Did the school base its efforts, its plan, on another school's model or another institution's model?
No, I think that's a really important question and a nuance. I think, you know, there's not a handbook on how to create a carbon neutral organization or a university. You have to come in, you have to be patient. So it's a lot of listening. You have to try to understand the campus culture, and then you figure out where you're at and then put a strategy forward. So there is, you know, in my opinion, absolutely not, you know, I think it takes a great deal of humility to do this work. You have to listen, and I think you just keep moving ahead with gratitude. Gratitude for the things that we have and gratitude for the opportunities in front of us, especially when we're surrounded in a higher education organization where there's so many intelligent people who are dedicated to the same mission.
Are you aware of any other carbon neutral schools in the country or the region?
Yeah, no, definitely. In fact, two of our two institutions that we would consider close peers have achieved carbon neutrality, and that's Bowdoin College in Maine and Middlebury College in Vermont. And then another school in the Patriot League where Colgate's at, and that's American University. So there's a small group, you know, I think Colgate's number five on the list. And I think that this is something that needs to be fast-forwarded. I look at the institutions that have a carbon neutrality date for 2035 or 2050, and I just think, you know, we need to take responsibility for our emissions sooner rather than later. Some of that might require investing in carbon offsets. We spend money as a society, as individuals, to try to put our money towards projects or things that will do ecological or social good. Offsets are no different. And it's basically, when you look at it a certain way, it's a self-imposed carbon tax. So now when we make decisions on our campus, we know that there's a cost of carbon associated with that. And that factors into our long-term decision-making that President Casey was talking about a couple of minutes ago. So I think for a number of reasons, investing in good projects off campus and then further factoring into our decision-making on campus, it would be great if there was a whole variety of institutions following just behind us to achieve the goal of carbon neutrality. Higher education is definitely a leading sector across the country, and we don't get the recognition I think that we deserve for being leaders on the issue of climate change.